The message you're about to listen to is brought to you by Pastor Henry Onyedikachi.
If we don't preach the gospel, we cannot expel darkness from the hearts of men. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I have a commitment. Necessity is laid on me. I have an assignment to preach the gospel.
Stay blessed.
Be seated. Just slow down for it. Just play on the background. Shagalada barata kadobos. Go play. Just get up. So I just have about 25 minutes to share with you. I'm going to round this up. Remember what we started last week? How to improve your spiritual flow. Remember? How to improve your spiritual flow. One of these I've kept telling us, I don't want you to forget as we round up this series today, is that the things of the Spirit is supposed to be done and practiced by every believer. It's not exclusive to pastors. It's not exclusive to bishops or prophets. It is the inheritance of the believer. If I answer this to you, the reason the pastor can speak in tongues is not because he's a pastor. It's because he's primarily a believer. I don't get the point. It is not because he's a pastor. It's because primarily he is a believer. And so once you're a believer, whether you're a pastor or not, you can do all spiritual things comfortably. And that's why we are doing this series, to guide you into them. Are you getting me? The reason I can heal the sick is not really because I'm Pastor Henry. I began to heal the sick before I ever even sensed the call to ministry. I was already speaking in tongues. Because it is, you need to realize, what we call healing, speaking in tongues, prophecy, word of knowledge, it's not something that we should use to wow believers. It's something we should bring every believer into. Yeah. You know, I see people, because they feel they have one or two gifts, maybe they heal the sick or they speak in tongues or maybe they prophesy, they begin to feel like they're superhumans. No. When you begin to do those, you are being yourself, and every other believer can do those things. You know, I learned very early that the flowing in spiritual things is not a proof of maturity. How many of you know this? It can be, but that's not the only proof. The fact that you can prophesy or you can heal the sick doesn't mean you are bigger than another person. You might still as well be a baby Christian. Some still heal the sick. There is still envy and bitterness in their hearts. Are you know what I'm saying? Still envy. They still hate their neighbors, but they still heal the sick. Why? Because this, I was saying it last week, this gift of the Spirit is not dependent on how good or bad you are. Get that to your heart. That's, as a matter of fact, that's why it's a gift. I don't get the point. It's a gift. If it is reward of the Spirit, if it is what the Spirit uses to reward us, it means it's when you do well that you get it. But it's a gift, because one quality of a gift is that you don't need to deserve a gift to have it. Amen? It's not a reward. It's not prize. It's a gift. And so, notice, God gives the gift. We call it the gift of the Spirit. That word gift in the Greek, the word is charisma. Charisma. It's from that. Is it charisma? Is it charisma? Charismata? It's from, that's where you, that, my point is that the root word is charis. Charis is the word grace. I didn't get the point. So, if there are gifts of grace, they are not gifts given because the person is good or not. So right there where you are, you have the ability to do every spiritual thing. Anyone you do not do, you just choose not to do it. Or you choose not to believe me. People say, I don't know how to speak in tongues. Whoever knows how to speak in tongues? There's nobody like that. Amen? Human beings don't speak in tongues. Spirits do. And you are one. You say, am I a spirit? That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit, Spirit. And so you must know this is your thing. So I'm going to challenge you as we round up this series with three different instructions. And listen, because we're talking about how to improve your spiritual flow. Maybe you used to speak in tongues small. How to get better with tongues. How to get better with interpretation. How to get better with healing. Or maybe you have not even done it before in your life. This will help you get you started. Last week we looked at two major things. Do you remember? The first one is knowledge. Second one? Deal with guilt and condemnation. I said two things that will help you. Last week is knowledge. That's something you need to know. Secondly, I said you must deal with guilt and condemnation. Any voice that, if you keep listening to that voice that tells you that you cannot do it, trust me, you will never do it. People don't flow in spiritual things because they feel they can't do it. They feel they're not qualified for it, or they're not holy enough for it. Newsflash is, nobody is holy enough for it. I didn't get the point. So next time, I'll start praying. You see, it's like there's one language that's trying to come out, but I don't want to speak it, because if I speak it now, Bible says that sin against the Holy Ghost cannot be forgiven. You see, that voice alone is condemnation in your head. Why will it be your own that is sin against the Holy Ghost? Why is it your own? That's a terrible voice speaking to you right there. Why is it your own? Do you realize that in the whole Bible, there was no single person that spoke fake tongues in the Bible? There are fake miracles, there are fake prophets, false teachers. There was no fake tongues. The only thing that can make your tongue fake is that you're not a believer. If you believe in Jesus, your tongue cannot be fake. Say amen. So next time that voice, that staring rises, give it expression. So I'll say three things today. Number one, 1 Corinthians 12 verse 31. Look at 1 Corinthians 12 verse 31. He said, but covet earnestly the best gifts. He said, covet earnestly. That word covet there means to desire. To desire. And when he says covet, I've explained this a couple of times. Let me do that again. It doesn't mean covet to possess. You remember that in this same 1 Corinthians 12 verse 7, he already told us that this manifestation of the Spirit has been given to all of us. Do you remember that? Given to everyone. So he's not saying convert to possess it. Look at it. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man. Are you following the point? So it's not convert to possess. So when it says convert, it is convert to flow in it. And so I'm going to start with the first instruction today. You must have a desire to do spiritual things. You want to improve your spiritual flow. People that get better with the flow of the Spirit really want to get better. You know, there's a generation of Christians that we are raising, and it's very bad. Who don't really care about their spiritual life, about their spiritual things. You know, when I was growing up as a believer, I wanted to walk on water. I wanted to raise the dead. It was a desire in my heart. I wanted to heal the sick. I wanted to prophesy. You should want it too. The word here is covet. That word covet is a strong word. NLT will say, earnestly desire. Right? Yeah, I'm right. Earnestly desire. So you can come out and say, I earnestly desire the prophetic. You should. I earnestly desire to walk in healing. I earnestly desire to prophesy. You must have that burning desire to do spiritual things. For most people, they don't have it. They don't really care. They are comfortable with coming to church and shouting, I receive, I receive, I receive. That's all. You know, you must grow beyond being a taker to being a giver too. There should be something in you that wants to heal the sick. There should be something in you that wants to raise the dead. There should be something burning inside of you that wants to interpret tongues perfectly. When you see people heal the sick, something should rise in you and desire to do it. I told you guys, the first miracle service I ever attended in my life, people were shouting. When I saw the cripple walking, people were shouting. I was shouting too. But what I was shouting, I was with my friend. I held his hand. I was shouting, we can do this. That's what I was shouting. It steered me. You should have that passion. And today, I'm flowing in what I wanted to flow in. How do you get the point? There should be that desire. In 1 Corinthians 14 verse 12, Paul said, yes, as much as you are zealous for spiritual gift. He said, go back to King James. Even so, for as much as you are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that you may also excel. The defender of the church. He said, you are zealous for spiritual gifts. You should also excel. Of course, I've explained this verse. The defender of the church will mean what? The gift of prophecy, yes. So as much as you want to excel, but the key thing is that this church, they were zealous in spiritual things. You should be zealous for spiritual gifts. How many of us say want to raise the dead? Not just what you are saying, like it's burning in you. You want, you see this one? You see, I read the miracles of Jesus. I say, I will replicate them one by one. Except the need does not arise. Once it arises, we will do them. You should have that desire. When there is that desire, you walk into it. Do you know why people go to a church? Their pastor does nothing but just call name, call phone number. That is somebody here. 082-652. And they, do you know, if you, and they stay there, and what they do after 5 years or 10 years is just to be receiving. God, they should call me today. They should call me today. They should. Any day I get into such meetings, I'm just seeing what I can do. I'm not despising the grace of God. I'm motivated by it. Amen. You see here, your pastor is a teacher. He heals the sick. He does all those things. As much as you enjoy the grace of God upon his life, let there be something rising in your inside. I will walk in the same thing. Are you following me? I will walk in the same thing. You know, I showed the scripture last week, Matthew 17, verse 19. When the disciples wanted to cast out the devil, they couldn't cast him out. And then Jesus came and casted the demon out. When they met Jesus, they came to Jesus and said, why could we not cast him out? A believer should have that desire. Father, Papa, why couldn't we do this one? And you see what they were flowing in, because they why did not do it? They asked questions. A believer should have that burning desire. You cannot be too complacent. You just relax. I don't tongues. No, it's not really my thing. It's like, which one is your thing? Are you a witch? Which one is your thing? You should have that burning desire. You know, one of the things that I would say made me stand out, you know, when I got saved newly, was I decided not to be ordinary. It's not my decision. The sound has changed. So bring it up a little. It was my decision. I didn't just want to speak it. Just like, I wanted to be different. I wanted to be more. I wanted to be able to heal the sick. I wanted to be able to raise the dead. I read God's General. I saw the doings that those guys did. And I wanted to do them. You know, the same way that the people of the world, when they watch a video where people are using, you know, that money spraying machine, and are spraying money, the same way we used to do them. And some of you used to do it like that. Be like, man, we go make arm. We'll get there. You see that thing? That's how it should be for you. When you see somebody grow a short leg, when you see somebody prophesy, that's what should be right. You say, but I was that one. You know what? Your priorities are misplaced. Some of this don't move me. One guy had his wedding, powerful wedding, beautiful wedding. People are not sharing the video. See money. I said, this is don't touch me. This is, what's that one? For all you care, the wedding can be staged. Say, guys, come, I'll give you the money. You spray it for me. So my wedding. It's done. I've gone to stage weddings. Do you know? Because this is an internet generation, Facebook world. Such things don't scratch. You see this skin? It doesn't. Hallelujah. You know, I'm one of those people that could have 100 million, you will never know. That's me. You will never know. You will see me. Well, if, I don't think it's too perfect for a believer to be flaunting his wealth. Amen? Yeah. One of the reasons is because it could lead other believers to covetousness. I get the point. You must be very, very wise and smart about this. You don't talk so much about how much you own. If not, but that's not for today. But then my point is that believers see this thing and it moves them. Oh boy, see money. That same way. The first time I watched Jaco. Someone had cancer. And the cancer, it was really forming kind of a growth on the skin. Cancer of the skin and all that, forming a growth on the skin. He prayed for the guy, healed the guy. He's on YouTube, check it out. How the cancer thing fell out into his hand. I said, man, we die here. We die here. Now that's where we're going to die. You should have that desire for spiritual things. First, I watched A.A. Allen too. I saw a short leg. He said, you guys ready for this? And the leg was great. I said, no, this is my world now. These are my brothers and sisters. That's my other brother. That's my grandfather. I know them. That there's a lineage we come from. Your heart must desire to do more with the supernatural. Your heart must. Look at 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 9. Elijah asked Elisha, What do you want me to do for you? You see, priority. For most people, if a great man of God, say before Archbishop died, as your president in the host, he called you to his side and said, ask for one thing I'm going to do for you, and I'll do it. I know what many people ask. So I want to be the richest man. I want to have all the money. Elijah said, not, you know, I just want to see the thing that I used to do. I want it times two. There should be a heart that wants to flee supernatural things. I want it times two. And he said, you asked a difficult thing. And you notice how Elijah followed from the beginning. They got to Gilgal. He told him, stay back here. He said, don't worry. You know the amazing thing? Do you know all the 50 prophets that met them at Gilgal, at Jericho, at Bethel? You know the story, right? All of them kept saying the same thing to Elisha. Don't you know the Lord is going to take your master today? So in other words, all of them had that information. Elisha had it too. But he was looking for something. Get the point? It was actually the information that made Elisha follow. Tell me where you go, I'm going to go. Because I know you're going to go very soon. So I want to be there when you're going to go. So that... Hallelujah. I know what amazed me was when Elijah divided the Red Sea, the Jordan, and passed. Elisha passed too. You know, that's amazing. You know why? He should have reasoned, how will I come back when God takes this man? I don't get the point. But it didn't matter. Because I know when I get out of what I'm looking for, coming back is not a problem. I didn't get the point. You should now. Elijah was praying to possess something. That's your trying to possess. We possess right now. Your own desire and seeking should be, I want to flow in this thing the more. I want to do it the more. If that desire is not there, you're not going to see a lot of it. It is people that mind history that make history. Get the point? It's people that mind these things that see it. If you really don't care about it, fine. They don't drop on you. You should really care. I want to heal the sick. I want to raise the dead. I want to walk on water. We're going to multiply bread. I get the point. We are going to open blind eyes. We're going to stop deaf ears in their numbers. We're going to do that. And so there should be a desire for the supernatural in you. With everything I've taught, one, you already know this is your thing. This is your realm. This is what you can do. Let it begin to steer your heart to know, I can do this and I will do it. Do you know if you die without raising the dead? If you doubt that in the supernatural, it's like a human being that lived all his life and died without talking. Without moving. Do you get the point? Because movement is part of the characteristics of a human being. Miracles are part of your characteristics as a spirit being. If you die without opening blind eyes, you didn't die well. I'm telling you the truth. You should do enough. This is who you are. And I don't know why I'm led to say this. This is not my assignment today, but you better begin to desire to flow in spiritual things and begin to practice and do them. If not, a day is going to come that you will need it so badly. I get the point. Most people that will not practice working miracles now and working and healing the sick and all that, one day that God needed badly in their family, when they now have kids, and then the kid becomes sick. Hallelujah. I'm saying this because I've stood in front of terminal diseases. I know what it is like. There's a testimony that I'm going to share here very soon. You know, I'm sure the person might be following this service now. Doctor has confirmed nothing can be done. Giving deadline to die. The person was my daughter. You sure it's not possible, right? And then I called her. I said, see, the way things are now, medicine cannot help you. You only have two options. It's either God or God. Choose one. You get the point? I said, we're going to pray. It's either God or God. So choose one. And so, to the glory of God, she's well. That was a razor fact. that Sunday morning I said, "Rich, laugh and it will be gone." And she laughed, laughed, and laughed. Went for tests this Tuesday. Doctor said, "What happened? Did you undergo a surgery?" He said, "I don't believe this." Check, say, "If I come back next Friday, because I don't know, but for now, stop taking the drugs because there's nothing wrong with you. Everything is fine." And it was a case of cancer. Listen, let me tell you, a time is going to come where you need the supernatural. You better begin to learn how to engage it now. A time will come. It's that I will not be sick in Jesus' name. Your child can be. The tough times of life come to all of us. A time is going to come when the account will be going down. You know, sometimes you are doing business, you are doing everything good, the account is going down. You are applying all the principles. Do you know why? The business world, you see, the career world, business world, is not a peaceful world. They devour each other. How do you get the point? You will need a supernatural one day. Learn how to practice it. Let that be a desire in your heart. If you do not have that desire, you're not going to go very much far into it. I'm going to heal the sick, amen. I'm going to raise the dead. I will prophesy. I will flow in the things of the Spirit. I will give word of knowledge. I will interpret tongues. I will do them. I will. And I want to do them. And I'm going to do them. Set some targets for yourself. I'm going to do these things. And then the second thing after the desire, I'm going to say, is gain mastery of those things by practice. You see, don't just desire to do spiritual things, be doing them. In much practice of spiritual things, you are learning to become stronger with them. Like I said, the day is going to come. If you've not started ministering to headache around you and pains on the leg, when your child goes down with cancer at the point of death, where are you going to find strength to do that one? I get the point. Begin to gain mastery. Pray for the sick. Interpret tongues. Prophesy. Begin to do them. The things of the Spirit get better with use. Once you keep using them, you are getting better at them. I get the point. Once you keep using them, you are getting better. Once you keep using them. So the things you think you can't do now in the Spirit, truth is you can do them. You only feel you cannot do it because you've not done it yet. It always proves difficult and impossible until you do it first. And do it again. And do it again. And do it. Do you know when you keep doing it, there is something rising in you? That thing is faith and confidence. Like I was giving an example with tongues. Some of you can remember that the first day you spoke in tongues, you are not speaking it out loud. Do you remember? You are just speaking small. You are not even bold to say it. But then you kept speaking it. You know, this confidence kept rising. Now you can even be in your room and then. So do it more. You are not confident to speak in tongues. Try it for 2 hours. With more use, you normalize the things of the Spirit. It becomes easier for you. You know, the Bible will tell us in 1 Timothy 4 verse 7. It says, "Exercise yourself unto godliness." And I like the word exercise. You know the way you wake up every morning and you go to the gym, and then that's for some of you, amen. Praise God. If you've not done it before, and praise God. You know, I thought we were going to have a guys' meeting here, right? Maybe one of the activities in that meeting will be to work out a little, amen. They just put 50-50 kg. Don't worry, the girls will not be there. So even if you fall, nobody is going to know that you collapsed. All I know is that he came to church the next day with POP. They said, "What's wrong with you?" He said he fell under the anointing yesterday. What I'm trying to say is, the same way you wake up every morning and you're exercising, you are running. That is the same way you exercise yourself. You can exercise yourself in the gifts of the Spirit. And you get stronger and better with them. Exercise yourself unto godliness. 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 19 will tell us, "Quench not the Spirit." What that means is that there's always a stirring of the spirit in your heart. Don't quench it. There's a stirring in your heart to heal the sick. Don't quench it. There's a stirring in your heart to interpret tongues. Don't. How do you quench it? You quench it by not doing it. As simple as that. As simple as that. We say pray in tongues. You say no. You are quenching the spirit. You're stifling the spirit. How do you quench the spirit for healing? There is a leading in your heart to pray for the sick, but you don't want to. You say no. What if I do it now and that? You are quenching the move of the spirit. When Bible says quench not, it means a believer can actually quench the move of the spirit, and a believer can also fan it to flame. And so I'm going to challenge you to do more with spiritual things. One, I say desire, have a rugged desire to do it. Secondly, I say don't quench it. Do it often. Do it always. Pray for the sick always. Raise the dead always. You say how? Just keep doing it. The more you do it, the more you are gaining mastery in that area. Remember when I taught you on the anointing and the anointed? Do you remember? Mastery in the anointing is gained by constant use. Constant use. Constant use. In everything of the spirit. Even now, some of you say, I don't even have to explain Bible. It's very difficult. Start. Explain the Bible to one person. Explain. The more you do it, the better you get with it. I don't get the point. Better you get with it. Some people say to me, Pastor, how do you do it? You teach for 3-4 hours. After teaching, you still come out, you are strong. Sometimes I teach in a weekend. I can teach for a total of 12 hours in one weekend. You say, don't you get tired? Don't you forget what to say? By constant, you know, the first time, you know, you might not actually know much to say. I remember the first time I preached in a meeting. I can't forget it in my life. I preached in something like a crusade. Is it a crusade? A night vigil, whichever one you call it. They even helped me to prepare the message. Do you understand? I preached from Isaiah 52. Awake, awake, O ye sleeper. That was my message. I don't know why you're laughing. I'm just saying. So they helped me prepare the message. Amen. El Shaddai, El Shaddai. Elohim.
Adonai.
Age to age, you're still the same.
By the power of your name.
El Shaddai.
El Shaddai. El Shaddai. Elohim and Adonai. I will praise and lift you high. El Shaddai.
So they helped me prepare the message. And I came up. I was singing with my voice. Forget it. I was not singing for anything. I was singing and closing my eyes so tight. I was thinking of how I was going to open my eyes to start. So after I said, time is going. I'm still singing. So I just opened my eyes and started talking. Said one or two things. 15, 20, 25 minutes. What else is there to say? Thank you. People. And the people said, we are blessed. The next day they gave me a message. What I preached on was thy kingdom come. This is an experience I can't forget. I did that. That day was now. I didn't sing for long. That and I'm this small. You know, but with much use. Praise God. There's no place now. In fact, the crowd now is the motivation. Normally they say if I see crowd, I'm scared. No, if I see crowd, I'm scared. The 100,000, wow, let me go there already. But some people say, this crowd is too much. No, the crowd is actually the too muchness of the crowd. It's the motivationness of it. You must gain mastery. Anything of the spirit you want to master, keep doing it. And that will lead me to the third point. You know, the Bible will tell us something in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 18. Paul told them, I thank my God as I speak with tongues more than you all. Paul was not saying that he possessed the gift more than them. But as far as use is concerned, he said, if they combine all the tongues all of you used to speak, I speak more than all of you. That's bold. But that tells you the lifestyle of the man. Every day, you should speak in tongues a lot. You should practice spiritual things a lot. You should said, I thank my God that I heal the sick more than you all. It doesn't mean that I have the gifts more than you or that I can heal bigger sicknesses. It means as per how many times I do it, I do it more than all of you. You get the point? You should heal the sick a lot. You should interpret tongues a lot. You should prophesy a lot. Are you getting the point? You should give prophetic words a lot. And that leads you to the third thing. I'll tell you, steer the gifts always. 2 Timothy 1 verse 6. He said, I put you in remembrance that you, if I put in remembrance that thou steer up the gift of God which is in thee. He says, steer it up. And I'm going to show you how. Steer it up. Steer it up. And I'm going to say three things about steering it up, and we'll pray. One major way to steer up the gift of the Spirit that is in you, one major way, is by tongues. When you know, speaking in tongues is a gift of the Spirit, quite all right. But it's special. It's special because it aids every other gift. It opens the door to flow in every other gift. That's why Jude verse 20 will tell you, building up yourself in your most holy faith. You know, the way I've seen this happen, by the time you begin to speak in tongues, before you know, you begin to interpret the tongues. You're already practicing the second gift. And a third gift, actually, which is prophecy. I get the point. But then before you know it, words begin to drop in your heart. You begin to know some things. You've gone into revelation gift. Hallelujah. And then you are steered up to heal the sick. If you make a practice of constantly speaking in tongues, you are always steering up the gift of God in you. So you must speak in tongues a lot. You know, 1 Corinthians 14 verse 4 will tell us that if you speak in tongues, you are edifying yourself. That word edify means you are building yourself up. Hallelujah. You know, sometimes treat this thing like you take drugs. You know, if you have to take drug, they tell you every morning, take two. Afternoon, take two. Night, take two. Sometimes treat spiritual things like that. Amen. Wake up in the morning, do 1 hour. Night, one. Let practice it. If you make a constant practice of it, you are releasing, you are steering. In fact, the fact, every spiritual faculty in you gets awakened when you begin to pray in tongues a lot. The only time you pray in tongues shouldn't be in church. I'm saying, one, pray in tongues in your prayer room. Even as you are driving, pray in tongues. As you're walking on the road, pray in tongues. You are settling, pray in tongues. It gives you, you see, build this culture. People should never meet you without your tongue moving. I don't get the point. If you see, except I know you're looking at me. If you look at me and I don't know, my tongue is moving. I've made it a culture. You must learn to build that strong. You know, some things you even struggle with. Speaking in tongues a lot keeps you very conscious of the supernatural and who you are. And so in speaking so much tongues, you are building up yourself. God says, he that speaks an unknown tongue edifieth himself. Edifieth himself. So your self-edification comes from tongues. So while you are in your room, while you are in your office, while you are in class, while you are driving, while you are praying, do tongues a lot. You know, they asked them, Dr. T.L., you know T.L.? Dr. T.L. Osborne, before he died, lived a very long life. But he was very strong, even before he died. They asked him, what's your secret? He said, tongues. So why have you lived longer and stay strong? He started speaking tongues a lot. People didn't understand it, but it's true. You know what it does? Because he's speaking tongues a lot, that consciousness of the life of God working in him is always there. I didn't get the point. It's always there. He said, if you come to my room, if you come to my room, he said, if you get to the bed, to my bedside, you will see my spit scattered all over the wall. See, it's disgusting. That's what I'm saying. He said, because I pray in tongues, I speak in tongues, I'm lying down, I'm doing tongues. You must build that culture of making tongues a norm. You are stirring up the gift. It will make way for every other spiritual thing. I don't have time to show you this. Every time people practice utterance, something will follow it. That's why I normally tell you guys, you want to go and pray for the sick, spend a lot of time praying in tongues. In fact, in praying in tongues a lot, your eyes are beginning to open already. Your eyes are beginning to open already. You begin to see, you begin to know things. You begin to know things. Why do you think we make you pray for long? Say, oh, on Saturday we're praying for 4 hours. Next we're praying for 6 hours. Do you know, it's not just because of the needs we are praying for. It's because of you primarily. Because that long time you are spending time praying, it was praying for different needs, and you're doing it in tongues. You are building up yourself. So constantly praying in the Holy Ghost will help you stay the gift. Second thing, 2 Timothy 1 verse 6. I put thee in remembrance to stir up the gift of God which is in thee. Look at what he said next. Which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. So one way to stir the gift, to stir that gift, when hands are laid on you, it activates the gift of God that is in you. That's why we talk about impartations. You know, what impartation does is, impartation has a way of stirring up the abilities of God in you. Now, what impartation does not do, don't miss this, it's not that when hands are laid on you, I've explained this over and over and over again, it's not that when hands are laid on you, the gift of healing will fall on top of you. No, the gift of healing is inside of you, but I can lay my hands on you and let it loose. Let me show you two scriptures. Numbers 27 verse 18. Thank you, Father. Numbers 27 verse 18. Go back to Pastor King James. Look at it. He said, and the Lord said unto Moses, take thee Joshua, the son of Nun, a man in whom in the spirit, and lay thy hand upon him. Now, Joshua already had the spirit. You know, he was a powerful man. But he said, even though he has it, but lay hands on him. Look at what it produced. Deuteronomy 34 verse 9. Deuteronomy 34 verse 9. After Moses laid hands on Joshua, even though Joshua was a powerful man, but God said, lay your hands on him. Now, in verse 9, it said, and Joshua the son of Nun was full of the spirit of wisdom. Why? For Moses had laid his hands upon him, and the children of Israel hearkened unto him. You know, this is why I picked that. Sometimes when I pray for some of you, I say, that's thing that commands followership. Let me repeat that prayer for some people. That thing that commands followership. Because after hands were laid on Joshua, the people began to listen to him. One, wisdom became very evident, and people wanted to follow him. Who was Joshua? A normal guy who was just in their midst. But after hands were laid on him, there was something that made people want to follow him. That's why in this place, we value impartation a lot. It has a way of steering the gift of God in you. Most of the time you see me travel to go and meet my spiritual father. I'm not going there just because I just want to go for a program. I want to go for a vacation. Most times it is, lay your hands upon me, O Lord. How does it do that? Through man. And so by that impartation, you find that, you know, another example of this is in Acts chapter 6. They picked 7 men who had the spirit already. And in verse 6, they laid their hands on him, on them. And in verse 8, one of the men they picked was Stephen. And Stephen, a man full of faith, did great signs and wonders among the people. After those hands were laid on him, did he have those abilities before? Yes. And so by impartation, we can steer the gift of God in you. But listen, everything I'm saying agrees. Impartation can be wasted in many ways. That's not for today. But one of the ways impartations can be wasted is if after impartation, you don't walk in the light of the impartation. If I lay hands on you and I see the gift of healing is working in you right now, if you don't step out and pray for the sick, you are wasting it. It's like they prayed for Stephen. What happened in verse 8? He began to do great wonders. It's not like after they laid on him, the Holy Ghost came and carried him and said, right now it's time for great wonders. No, he began to do it. Amen. When next we lay hands on you and we say, you know, me and pray, and you perceive or you know that the gift of this have been stirred up in you, it's time to go and begin to use it immediately. Stir the gift by impartation and use. Don't waste it. Every time we lay hands on you in a meeting, something was stirred. Find out what was stirred. Walk in the light of it. You become better. I didn't get a point. Find out what was stirred. Walk in the light of it. If lay hands on you and the prophetic was stirred in you, find out what was stirred and begin to flow in the prophetic. We lay hands on you and then gift of miracles will stay in you. Find out what was stirred and begin to walk in it. Hallelujah. Praise God. You know, in 1 Timothy 4 verse 14, you find that same instruction. Paul will tell Timothy, neglect not the gift of God that is in you. And that's what I'm telling you to do. Do not neglect the gift of God that is in you. 4 verse 14. How did that gift come? That came by the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. 14. Neglect not the gift that is in thee. Notice, the first, in 2 Timothy 1 verse 6, he says, tear up the gift. That gift came by the laying on of which hands? He said, my hands. That's the hands of Paul. In verse 14, he now says that there's another gift that came by the laying on of the hands of the presbytery, meaning the pastorate, the leadership. So it tells you that hands was laid on this guy more than once. And in each of those occasions, something was stirred in him. So he said, do not neglect it. How do you not neglect it? By walking in it. Praise God. When we lay hands on you to speak in tongues and don't stop. So, there is the stirring of God when we lay hands on you. You know, in Romans 1 verse 11, Paul will tell the Roman church, he said, I look forward to coming to meet you. He said, if I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift to the end that you may be established. I want to come and see you guys. And I'm going to impart some things to you. So by impartation, gifts are stirred. And then the third way you steer the gifts of the Spirit, and this is what I'm going to close today, is by association. Association. You see, your association can steer the gift of God in you and can stifle it. Your association can make you get better or can quench it. It can. And this speaks about two major things. This speaks about your company. That's your group of friends. And secondly, it speaks about the meetings you always go to. These two things can make your spiritual flow better or kill it. Your company, the friendships you keep, can make you flow better with the Spirit. And the meetings. Meetings, I mean, church you go to and all that. If you keep friends or you go to a church where they don't encourage spiritual flows and all that, for every believer, you will never be better with it. Never. 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 Hallelujah. You know, in Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 2 was on the day of Pentecost, right? Almost everywhere you find the flow of the Spirit in the book of Acts, they were in a meeting. Acts 2 verse 1, they were together with one accord in one place. If anybody didn't attend that meeting that day, the person will not participate in that flow. I didn't get a point. If you say, I didn't go, that's why going to church should be a norm. Not just any church. Beware the things that are encouraged. That's what we try to do here. And don't be there once in a while. Be there always. In being in a good church consistently, you're already making way for spiritual flows and making it easier for you. One of the things it will do for you is that you're even encouraged as you see people doing it. Like I'm teaching now, I'm even steering you to do it. Some of you, this may be the first time since you started going to church or since this year that a pastor is ever encouraging you to go and heal the sick. Encouraging you to go and do spiritual things. It tells you if you're in the right place, it will steer that gift in you. Some places will stifle it. In Acts 2, they were in a meeting. In Acts 4, they were in a meeting. That's Acts 4 verse 23. Bible said when they threatened them, they went back to their own company and spoke to them. And then they prayed. And in verse 31, the place where they were was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. They were in a meeting together. The things of the Spirit become easier and better in meetings. For instance, we say interpretation of tongues or whatever. Where will you grow confidence to interpret tongues? It's in meetings like this. We say, okay, face your neighbor, give him a word. That's where confidence begins to come from. You can now turn to your friend and say, the Lord said it. Because he said, yes, yes. Your confidence is growing in Christian meetings. You cannot start from the marketplace. I didn't get a point. You don't even have confidence to do it. So Acts 4:23, they were in a meeting. Acts Acts 13, the popular separate unto me, Paul and Barnabas, they were still in a meeting. Verse 1 tells us that certain prophets and teachers, they mentioned their names, they were dead, they were praying, and the Holy Ghost said while in that meeting. Where you find spiritual flow is in Christian meetings. And let me say, in Christian meetings and in Christian companies. A company of Christians who know what they're doing, a company of believers who know what they're doing, will always have the flow of the Spirit. I'll show you one last scripture and we'll pray. We'll pray. 1 Samuel chapter 10 from verse 1. 1 Samuel 10 from verse 1. You must want to do spiritual things.
As the deer pants for water, so my soul longs for you. Forever and ever, yes, my heart beats for you. As the deer pants for water, so my soul longs for you.
Forever and ever,
forever and ever, yes. For you.
You see, there must be that beating in your heart. I want to do more. Who wants to do more? Come on. You must want to do more. We must want to interpret. We want to prophesy more. Samuel took a vial of oil. Watch, almost everything I said played out in this chapter. That's why I'm closing with it. Took a vial of oil, poured it upon his head, that's upon Saul, and kissed him. And said, is it not because the Lord has anointed thee to be captain over his inheritance? So he anointed him. That's impartation, right? Watch. When thou art departed from me today. You see, what he anointed Saul to flow in did not actually manifest immediately. Watch what happened. He said, then thou shalt find two men by Rachel's sepulchre in the border of Benjamin at Zelzah. And they will say unto thee, the asses which thou wentest to seek are found. And lo, thy father hath left the care of the asses and sorroweth for you, and saying, what shall I do for my son? Then shalt thou go on forward from thence, and thou shalt come to the plain of Tabor, and there shall meet the three men going up to God to Bethel, one carrying three kids, and another carrying three loaves of bread, and another carrying a bottle of wine. Hallelujah. And they will salute thee and give thee two loaves of bread, which thou shalt receive of their hands. You will meet such men, amen. Men carrying the resources that you need. You will not just meet them, they will give it to you, and you will receive it from their hands. But then look at verse 5. After that thou shalt come to the hill of God, where is the garrison of the Philistines, and it shall come to pass, when thou come there to the city, thou shalt meet a company of prophets coming down from the high place with a psaltery, a tabret, and a pipe and a harp before them, and they shall prophesy. So you meet some prophets prophesying. We'll see verse 6. And the Spirit of the Lord will come upon thee, and thou shalt prophesy with them, and shall be turned into another man. In other words, what I've imparted you for will be activated when you meet those men. I didn't get the point. And then, of course, it's fulfilled in verse 9. What I've imparted you for will be activated and brought to life. He said, and it was so that when he had turned his back to go from somewhere, God gave him another heart. And all those things came to pass that day. Verse 10. And when they came there to the hill, behold, a company of prophets met him. And the Spirit of God came upon him, and he prophesied among them. So your company and your association can aid spiritual flow for you. It can also stifle it. So, like I always do, I charge you to have the right company. Keep the right company. And this is not just talking about going to hell or going to heaven or sin. Keep the right company that will motivate, steer the gift of God in you. Keep that company. You know, there is a company that you keep, they will help you flow better. You guys can even organize. And I say this by the Holy Ghost. There are some friendships that the Lord said to me just as I was standing there. He said, these friendships are not living up to the expectations. I heard it. He said, warn them. These friendships, there are friendships that are existing. These are friendships. Believers are together. Three, four of them, I see. Three believers, four believers. They are believers, but they are not doing anything spiritual. You guys are friends. You guys are believers. You guys are not encouraging yourself to pray. You guys don't pray together. You don't flow in spirituality together. You don't go to visit those places together. That is a failed friendship. And you must activate it from today. Amen? If there are believers that come together as friends, they must come together and do spiritual things together. Are you following me at all? Those friendships must live up to their expectations. So a part of that failed friendship, you are not living up to the expectation that God wants you to. Because God is saying, by the association some of you have, you should have done better with healing. Because you guys should have been going together to visit hospitals. By the association some of you have, you should have done better with prophetic words. Because you guys should have started organizing believers meeting among the three or four of you. But you guys are just there watching movies together, talking about guys, talking about ladies, talking about money, talking about academics, talking about every other thing rather than the thing. And I want to challenge you. Use that company to steer yourselves unto godliness. Are you following me? So be in the right company. Use it well. Be in church. Let the gift of God in you be steered. Don't use association. Imagine if Saul had left this place and didn't meet those prophets. The hands of Samuel has come on him. Something has been steered in him, but he cannot flow in it. It took meeting those men to bring to life those things that are in him. Hallelujah. And some of you have met us today. That's why by constant association, do you know, I don't want to say this, you know, do you know, this was the only time Saul ever prophesied in the Bible. Because the next verse, they began to say, is Saul also among the prophets? And I can tell you why. Because that was the end of his stay with that company. Had he continued with that company of prophets, he would keep prophesying with them. Are you following me at all? Are you following me? He will keep prophesying with them. Your association, your company, your group of friends, the church you go to, can either steer up the gift of God in you or stifle it. It can either steer it up or quench it. And the good thing about this is that these things I mentioned, they are within the boundaries of your choice. It's your choice to make. I didn't get the point. You are the one that will choose your friends. You are the one that will choose your church. You are the one that will choose your company. Do not flow with people that will stifle the gift of God in you. And some of them can even be believers, but don't really care about spiritual things. That's not your company. They shouted that they threatened Peter and John that they should never preach the gospel again. That's Acts chapter 4. In verse 23, they returned to their company. That's what the Bible said. And shared it with them. The Bible said they prayed together. And in verse 31, the place was shaken. Higher. And they were filled with the Holy Ghost and spoke the word of God with boldness. Have that kind of company. And be in that kind of church. And if you are in that kind of church, or as you are in that kind of church, and if you have that kind of company, maximize this to the end. I get the point. Maximize it. Where will you start? How can you start maximizing it? It starts from where I started from. You must desire to do it. You know, if you are here and you don't have any desire for spiritual flow, I can be here, heal 10 cripples, open 10 deaf ears, open 10 blind eyes, and you'll be like, wow, this pastor get power, sha. That will be your only response. Another man that cares about those spiritual things will see it and say, man, thank you for the workings of God in my pastor. And I know it will motivate him to do them. I didn't get the point. You should want to get better with spiritual flow. Hallelujah. This season I will do more. I said I will do more. And you should. You should. You should. Hallelujah. You should. Have you stopped a deaf ear before? It's time to look for more deaf ears to stop. I get the point. Have you prayed in tongues before? It's time to pray further. Have you interpreted tongues before? It's time to interpret further. Have you not done it before at all? It's time to start. You can't be doing this thing once in a while and you expect to become a pro at it. You can't. To become a pro with the supernatural, you have to master it. Even when you graduate from school, maybe you graduated as a medical doctor, they will still not take you too seriously, except if you've been able to practice for a very long time. Your experience will count for you. So begin to build those experiences now. Pray. Get into a company. Pray. You know, yesterday I learned there were some believers here, some of us here, that went to pray, went to a hospital to pray for the sick. These things, they excite me. I love it. But that's where we got. That's how we got here. I didn't get a point. Have that kind of company. Believers that come together. Come, let us pray. Let's rejoice in the Holy Ghost. Let's interpret tongues. Let's pray. Let's practice supernatural things. That should be that kind of friendships, that kind of company, and your heart must want to do them and be better with them. That coldness in your heart towards spiritual things, it's not God that put it there. And thank you, Father. Let me say this. Thank you, Father. You know, there are six persons in this place who feel in their heart like they don't have any motivation, any drive towards spiritual flow, interpretation of tongues, or all these things. But actually what the Lord is showing me is that it has not always been like that. There was a time when that drive was there. There was a time when you really wanted to do more of these things. There was a time when that stirring was in your heart. At six, there was a time. But then some things happened and you really don't feel like it again. You hear what the Lord is going to say? He's saying, yield to that prompting in your heart. Because really, really, it's still there. He said, yield to it. Yield to it. You wanted to be more for the kingdom before. But now it doesn't look like that is much. You just want to be a normal person. No. No. That is still a stirring which you have stifled over time. But you can allow it to rise again. You can decide to be more effective and stronger and become more with spiritual flows. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Say, spiritual things are mine. Once again, announce it. Farm of the Spirit. I am of the Spirit. I am in the Spirit. I'm a man of the Spirit. I'm supernatural, so I do supernatural things. Glory to God. Stand to your feet. Stand to your feet. Shada da la bakura tesia. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Just take 2 minutes. Take 2 minutes. Talk in tongues. Some things have stirred up in your heart. So just pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in the Holy Ghost. There is a calling for more. More spiritual practice. More spiritual flow. There is a call for more. A call for more. 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 Ayaya baroko dosia. Shabaratea. I'll give you 2 more minutes. If you are here and there is a stirring for more of supernatural stuff in your life, pray in the Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name. Father, thank you. Thank you. You've taken us on this journey. And for everyone here whose heart is wailing and yearning for more of these things, I pray for you from my office that as you step out, you will see those things that your heart has yearned for. You will see those things that your heart has desired. In the name of Jesus, those moves that you have imagined, those happenings, those things that you've played out in your mind, I pray for you, you will see them. You will see them. As you step out, you will see them in the name of Jesus. And you will not just see them once. You'll see them once and again and again and again. And they will become your normal flow. Yeah. And the Lord said, as you say, you know, for about three persons here, that yearning, that thing that has been stirring, you know, your heart has been drawn to this particular thing over time. He said, go after it and gain mastery. For in time to come, you shall be identified with it. Just like they say, ah, that guy is a healing apostle. That guy is specializing in healing cancer. Like that thing that has been rising in your heart. God said, in no distant time, if you go further with it, you shall be marked out with it. He's well known for seeing visions. He's well known for prophecy. He's well known for raising the dead. That has been a yearning and a stirring in your heart. As you go further into them, it shall be what will mark you out in time to come, says Spirit of the Lord. So go further into it. Glory to God. Go further into it. It's your season for more. Hallelujah. My season for more. My season for more. My season for more spiritual flow. More prophecy. More tongues. More healing. More miracles. More raising of the dead. More opening of blind eyes. More raising of the dead. More visions. More visions. More word of knowledge. More discerning of spirits. More interpretation of tongues. More and more and more and more. Hallelujah. That time is here. I will do more. Glory to God.
For more information, inquiry, or prayer request, please visit our website at www.henryonyedikachi.com.